Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. Today is December the 3rd, December the 3rd of 2025. Wow, where did the year go? I'll tell you where it went in one year and out the other. Thank you. Thank you so very much. I hope that was acceptable to everybody. How is everybody doing? Are you doing well? I hope so. Welcome. Welcome! Yeah, it's not a costume. It's freezing in the arcade today. Brr. And this hat was convenient. It was on the shelf back there, and I grabbed it. Better than the cowboy hat, which you would have gone, what in the world is Mo wearing there? You would have. Everyone who wears the hat or views the hat ends up speaking with a Western accent. So, Old West. Ding! You know. So, hope you're doing well. It is very cold. I'll get warmer as time goes on. So, I hope. So, I may button up my coat here, my shirt coat. It's a shirt coat. There's a shirt underneath, and then there's this thing, and I may button it up. But, yes, we paid our electric bill. It's just really cold. It snowed outside. It snowed all night. The rest of the house, I think, is a little bit warmer, but this place. Yes, the arcade is. Well, what can I tell you? So welcome. The first week in December, the end of the year coming, and then we'll begin another year, and hopefully, I'll get to be here next year, you know? I'm a grateful guy. I'm grateful for every year I'm here. So, and I'm grateful you're here. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Yes, I'm a Sherlock Holmes fan. That's not why I read all the books when I was a kid, all the stories, the canon as they're known. And yes, I have a big old calabash pipe, you know, the big old, with the big white meerschaum. Yes, I used to smoke it back in the day. I haven't smoked in well over 30 years. It's been quite a while. So that's good, I guess. Yeah, I just grew intolerant of it, said I can't do that anymore. So, but I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. I had a quiet, very quiet. You know, I didn't fall asleep or anything, but it was just quiet and nice, very nice. Yeah, and quiet. Did I mention it was quiet? So today, I have a humdinger of a show. I think you're going to enjoy it. I know I'm going to enjoy giving it to you. I've been kind of excited about telling you about it and showing it to you. It is about astrology and tarot. Did you know that astrology and tarot are connected? And you probably knew that. Most people do. But did you know how closely they're connected and how they're connected? They are. Boy, if you're not using your cards right, if you have cards, and most people, I think, kind of do, you should be using them right now to ask all sorts of questions. You know, you pull those cards out, and I'm not going to try shuffling them with these mitts I've got on, but I do a thing called a Faro Shuffle, F-A-R-O, not P-H-A-R-A-O-H, because I don't think, you know, Amenhotep the 4th was a, you know, shuffle that card. That would have been just silly. Oh, who's in the chat room? Pamela, welcome. Leslie's in the room. Come on. Yeah. Well, excited to listen live for the first time in a while. Well, Leslie, I'm awfully happy to have you. I'm happy to have you all. Come on in. I mean, a lot of people, they listen later. And if you listen live, you have the advantage of being able to ask me questions. Ask me questions. And I will talk to you. Yeah. There's a chat room. This is a chat room. And the nice thing is that the chat room is also available in the replay so that people can actually see your questions later. So if you're playing hooky, you're not supposed to be here. When someone watches this and repeat, they're going to see this. Now, I've not seen that before. I should check into that. But there are questions you could ask your cards. And I use my cards, the cards that I designed and had printed up. And people bought these in the past. I guess I need to make them available again. Yeah, the world's kind of in an uproar right now about things. Yes, it certainly is. Oh, yeah, I pulled my Jack of Wands there, as you can see. You can see it's a kind of a jack-o'-lantern. We're going to talk about astrology and tarot, because I think it's a powerful subject. Let me talk a little bit about that. Why do this? Why get into astrology and tarot? I was a tarot reader for many years before I ever got into astrology. And why is that? Well, because I didn't think it needed it. I didn't need it. But then I realized, wait a minute, there's something happening here. And I noticed that there were certain things about tarot that had astrological symbols on it, especially when I got the Aleister Crowley Thoth deck. And I got that in about 75. And it might have been 76. I don't remember. I think it was 75. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But that's when I realized, wait, I need to know something about this. And so my first foray into astrology was Max Hendel's book, It's in the Stars. I think that's the name of it, something like that. Not the easiest thing to learn. But eventually, I got to know more about astrology, and it made more sense to me. But what I discovered is that the reason you want to know something, you don't have to know a lot about astrology, I'll be honest with you, but there are some times when it's going to do you some good. And that is when you're doing a reading, let's say, or you're trying to help someone out, which is what readings are about, trying to help somebody out. And you see some astrology there, it can clue you in to what's going on and help you to make predictions. Now, one of the predictions that I made that was startling to some people, I was at a party. I was a party of many metaphysical people, many metaphysical people. And there was a fella who kind of, I don't know why, but he just didn't always have my, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But he came over and it was like, okay, Mr. Big Shot Tarot Reader. Okay, Mr. Big Shot Tarot Reader. And he was with someone, and he and that someone, they wanted to know, when is our house going to sell? Mr. Big Shot, big deal, been reading tarot all your life. When, tell us, and there were a lot of people around, and, you know, everything got hush-hush, and I thought, oh, God, I don't need this, do I? I said, well, tell us with the cards. Can you do that? And I said, sure, I can try. There are no real guarantees here, but I'll give it a shot. So I went ahead and I cut the cards and pulled a card and I pulled another card. And I said, I tell you what, just a few days within the vernal equinox. And this was in, I think this was probably in the winter sometime. And there was an eye roll. And I said, that's about the best I can do, right around the vernal equinox, okay? Okay, you know, that sort of thing. And I don't do that voice. That wasn't his voice. So, and it was, and I felt a little bit embarrassed and definitely put on the line. I don't ever mind putting myself on the line because, you know, I'm human. And humans make mistakes. And I've made mistakes. Boy, have I made some whopping mistakes in public before. I've done that. And that's okay. Because that's things like that happen. So, I forgot all about it. And then one day I got an email. And the email was from the fella. And it said, it's the first time I'd ever heard this idiom, good on ya. I'd never heard the idiom before, so I didn't know what was on me. What was on me? But said, good on ya. You were correct on the sale of the house. It was within 2 days, I think it was, or 3 days, of the vernal equinox. Ta-da! And I just wanted to let you know. Well, actually, the other person insisted I let you know. And I thought, okay, all right. That's cool. Thank you for doing that, Patty. Is that Patty? Patty's in the room. Thank you, Patty, for letting me know. Welcome. Come on in. Have a seat. There's some beanbag chairs against the wall. You can just pull one out and poof. And just make sure you don't get one that's torn. Because when you've ever been on a beanbag chair that was torn and poof, whoom, everywhere. That stuff goes everywhere. So, how did I do that? How did I do that? Well, astrology. It was a tarot card. Astrology, it was the Three of Wands. The Three of Wands, which is the Sun in Aries. And the Sun in Aries is, yes, the vernal equinox. So as soon as I saw that, I knew. That's it, you know? Is it good? Yeah. And I'm afraid I took the rest of the hot water because I needed some for this right now ice cold cup of tea. But you're free to boil some up if you like. Lukewarm. It's all right. I don't like to drink hot stuff anymore. I actually burned my throat one time on some hot beverage. And some oatmeal once, too. I just don't want to do that anymore. So, Pamela says, hey, Patty, talk amongst yourself. That's fine with me. So, so it was the Three of Wands, which is the vernal equinox. And I took it off of that, and there was another card that I don't remember what that one was, but it kind of echoed that idea. That's how I did it, and it was right. Now, there's another card that is sort of like that, and that is the Four of Discs, and that is the Sun in Capricorn, and that, of course, is the winter solstice. And I have used that before and been right on. Now, that doesn't mean that every time you see that card, it's going to tell you that that's the case. But that's the power of intuition. That's the power of the astrology of Tarot. And every now, things like that will go on. Oh, thanks. Got a little nod to my lava lamp. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good one, too. So the astrology of Tarot is really very powerful, and it is actually why the cards were named the way they were. So let's begin with this, shall we? I brought some visual aids today. Now, the first one I have is right there, and that is the Tree of Life. That is the, and I drew these up myself, so they're not very fancy. But at the very top, you can see there's a thing that says Kether. Kether, that's the top of the tree. And this is the Kabbalistic tree, but it's also the Hermetic system. This is not about, it is Judaism, so to speak, but it's really what the Hermeticists put together. It's not perfectly drawn. Things are not exactly lined up. I did it by hand. So you have to, and my hands are covered with mittens, so you have to, you know, see how that goes. These are not mittens. They're fingerless gloves, so I can type at the same time. And this hat, yes, it is. It's a, what's known as a deer stalker or deer slayer, and it's what Sherlock Holmes never wore in the book. He never wears one of these. But, pardon me, it's just one of those things. So this is, there are 10 of these emanations, the 10 Sephiroth of the Tree of Life, Sephiroth. I can't ever remember which is one and which is plural. But it's okay. I'm not going to, you know, it's not going to melt if I get it wrong. At my age, I'm getting things wrong every now and then. An experience where I was a bit irritated. I went to do something I was led astray, let me put it that way. And on the way home, I was so steamed, I kind of got lost on the way home because I wasn't paying attention to what I should have been doing, which was driving. I didn't drive erratically or anything, but I just took the wrong turn. And I thought, man, I'm getting old, because I used to have perfect inner maps where I could just, you know, put it on automatic pilot, which is terrifying when I think about it. But I got a little bit lost, and I thought, I don't like that feeling of getting old, but I have to face the facts that it's just the way it is, you know? So anyway, the Tree of Life here. There are these 10 emanations, and the first one is Kether, then Chokmah, and Binah, and then Chesed, Geburah, Tipereth, Netzach, Hod Yesod, and Malkuth. Now, what these are these things. And I'm not going to get into it too much because that's not what we're here for today. We'll talk about that. So I did a show earlier about this, a little more in depth. And it's kind of good stuff there. You know, hi, Renee, welcome. Welcome. Come on in. Grab a beanbag there against the wall. Don't sit on one that's torn poof everywhere. You know how that goes. So, or there might be some chairs, but the beanbags are much more comfortable. Chokmah is wisdom, Kether is the crown, Binah is understanding, Chesed is mercy, Geburah is severity, Tipereth is beauty, Netzach is victory, Hod is splendor, Yesod is foundation, or no, it is not, it is foundation, and Malkuth is the kingdom. And now, the important thing. Chokmah, which is number two, Kether is one, all aces, here we go, all aces are ruled by Kether. It's the point. So the aces have no astrological backing. None. Okay? So we just, aces are aces. They're the seed, if you will. They're the seed. And that's the basis of that, right? That's the basis of that. So we don't worry about the astrological aspect of aces. Chokmah, number two, there is no astrological basis there, right? Because that's beyond what was known at the time. And we're talking the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th centuries. Well, 16th century. Let's not get into splitting hairs, because hairs are very fast running in the field, right? We're getting into something else, Bugs Bunny and stuff like that. So with Chokmah, the image of Chokmah is, I like this, it's a rock jutting out of the ocean. Kind of like the Sorcerer's Apprentice, if you want to think about that one. And it's definitely an interesting thing, because all the deuces, all the twos, are about this, these two things that come together. I may sneeze. I may not. Oh, excuse me. Oh, sorry, it is chilly. And I have allergies year-round, so, you know, they're mine, I claim them. So It's the concept of two things coming together. It's the binary coming together, but there's no astrological symbol there. I suppose one might say that past Saturn, there is, say it carefully now, kids, Uranus. Okay. Yes, thank you. So, but there is no, in Tarot, there is no astrological thing there. Now, the next one is Binah. And that is ruled by Saturn. So those are the threes, the trays. You may have noticed that all the threes in Tarot are kind of, they can be a little bit tough, not all of them. But for example, the Three of Swords is sorrow. The Three of Swords is sorrow. And you think, well, why is that? Well, we're going to get to that when we get there. So let's not worry about it now. So all the threes in Tarot are ruled by, ultimately, they're kind of an over-ruling by Saturn. Okay? All the fours are ruled by, now, this, I didn't do this on, I should have done that. It goes, It goes from Binah to Chesed, which is mercy, And then those are all ruled by Jupiter. So all the fours in the deck are ruled, the overruler is Jupiter. Then we jump across the gap, and all the fives are ruled ultimately by Mars. Now, all the fives definitely are kind of tough, and if you're a tarot reader, you probably have noticed that they're all kind of, you know, kind of beat you up a little bit. The fives are, you know, like defeat and they're just rough, strife, you know, they're just not, the worry, and, you know, they're fives of tarot. The six is perfection. The sixes are all the perfection of their suit. And that's beauty is what it's called, right? It's in the middle. It's ruled though. So all the sixes are ruled by the sun. The sun, the beautiful sun, provides life and heat, especially if you're in the desert, but that's a different story. The sevens are all ruled by Venus. Netzach, victory. Okay? So we then jump across. Now, one minute. Venus is the emotional reaction to losing perfection. Just remember that. Put that in the back of your mind. And so all the sevens are Venus. All the eights across the way there are Mercury. Hod. Splendor. So it's the emotional reaction in splendor in Venus and the intellectual reaction in Mercury, which makes perfect sense. And then we go back to the middle pillar, as it's known, in Yesod, or Isod, and there we see that we have the foundation, and all of the nines are ruled by the moon, and whatever the moon means to you, you can think about that. And then down to Malkuth, which means the kingdom, all the tens are ruled by the earth. And one might think, well, that's really good, except the earth represents, boom, the real world falling off the tree. It has fallen off the tree, and once it's off the tree, it begins to decay. It's like an apple that falls off a tree and immediately begins to rot. Think about that, okay? Isn't that pleasant? Now, let's talk some more about this. So you, at your leisure, you begin to think, all right, so all the twos are ruled by this concept of duality, binary, things coming together, this rock jutting out of the ocean. And so the threes are all about something coming to being. As a matter of fact, I'm fond of saying that all the threes are, in fact, pregnant. Aren't they? Aren't they? Sometimes they are. That's why the Three of Swords, sorrow. Oh, such a hurtful card at times. I have many times over the decades seen the Three of Swords to be about the loss of a pregnancy or the decision to terminate a pregnancy. I've seen that many, many times. So, and then that may or may not come to pass, but, and you can't just, you know, Mo said that, that's what it is, dot. It doesn't always happen that way, or exclamation point. It doesn't always work that way, but you have intuition, you see, and your intuition is splendid, isn't it? Isn't it? And that's what we're talking about here, this idea of intuition and you reading cards. Now, so that's what you have to do. You have to allow your intuition there. So all the fours, oh, did we talk about the threes? Yes, coming to being. All the fours are about the first real solid apparition of something, the four of discs, power, right? Power, that's pretty good. The Four of Wands, completion. Completion of what? Well, you think about that, right? The Four of Swords, truce. Well, truce of what? From sorrow to truce. The Two of Swords is peace. Think about these things. You create these ideas in your mind. You create these entire worlds in your mind. Of visions, of images, of how one thing goes to the other. I love that. That's a good thing for you to do. The Five of Wands. The Five of Wands is strife. What is strife? Well, it's Mars. Well, what is that mark? And these are the colors on the tree, by the way, the red and the blue. And so what is going on here with the five? And it's Martian. And it's, and with me, it was my five of wands is five policemen with riot batons. And this happened to me at Mardi Gras. And it was I was standing between these five policemen in riot gear and about 100,000 people in back of me. And they wanted me to get out of the way. And these 100,000 people were not moving. And I was terrified. What am I going to do? Well, all it took was a riot baton in my solar plexus for me to move. I moved. And I moved very quickly. But I didn't know that. From the time I spotted these riot, this was right after Weekend Update. It was 1977 when Saturday Night Live went to Mardi Gras, which they never, ever did again, wisely. But it was a, boy, was that fun. I actually have this on my podcast, which is called Out of Mo's Mind. All you have to, and these are, I haven't done a new one in quite a while, but it, I talk about how I threw beads at Buck Henry. It's a long story, which is why it's on a podcast. But, I moved because when you have, but from the moment I saw them and until they came, got to me, strife. I was absolutely terrified because I didn't know how I was going to do what I did. But when you have that pain of that baton, you do it. And I know that card. And you know that card. You've been, you know, so it's that Martian energy. The six is beautiful. It's right in the middle. Everything feeds it. It's I like some other time about that. And the sevens, like I said, are emotional, intellectual with the eights. And the nines are, well, we'll have to get to that. Okay, let's keep moving or I will suddenly find myself out of time. So let's go to the wands and look at what I'd like you to show you is specifically, that's the cups, that's not the, here's the wands. Okay, so the cups, the two of wands is ruled by, now I said on the tree the twos don't have anything. Now, here's the thing. What you're going, Mo, what are these arbitrary placements of signs, planets and signs? It's not arbitrary at all. Not at all. It's actually very specific. It all starts in one place. It starts in the five of wands. Okay, it starts with the five of wands. And that is going to be Leo. Why does it start in Leo? Well, you will read that that's because that's the heliacal rising of Sopdet or Sirius. Sopdet, the ancient Egyptian name for Sirius. The heliacal rising of Sirius. There's truth to that, but there's another reason for that. My theory. I think I'm right, but that's okay. I've been wrong before, but this makes sense to me. There are four pillars of the universe. Those four pillars, those four corners of the universe are the fixed signs of the zodiac. And the fixed signs of the zodiac are Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, and Taurus. I'm a Taurus, so I have a particular sort of love for that. And I'm also a Scorpio moon, full moon in Scorpio. Three means 3 minutes to full. And Scorpio rising and Vedic astrology and, you know, all sorts of things. So I'm a mess, just a smarmy mess. So with all of that being said, we look at this and we say, all right, so what are these four pillars? Once upon a time, lots of stuff happened, like the summer solstice took place in Leo. It did. Yeah, and the vernal equinox took place in Taurus. Long time ago, 5,000 years ago or so, give or take. Get yourself a good astronomy Or astrology, it doesn't matter. But astronomy is fun because you can take it back thousands of years and look at the vernal equinox, and you can look at the, it's so much fun to look at the constellations and see where the equinoxes and to watch the eclipses and you just go, man, it's so cool to be able to run it back and run it forward. Yeah. For example, the Aquarian Age will not occur for another 500 years. But it will occur. And then we will enter the Age of Aquarius. This is the dawning of, but it's going to be a really long dawn. But that's all right. Look around you. Does this look like the Age of Aquarius? Does it really look like it? No. No, we're not even close yet. There's so many dullards around, and they're running countries. Jesus, you know, just look around you. But there are people like us, you and me. We're okay. Anyway. So they started with the five, and they said, okay, we're going to start right here. And at this place, at the five of wands. That's what they said. And so they started there, and they said, we're going to start at the beginning of what's called the Chaldean order of the planets, which is like you see on the tree: Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Sun, Venus, Mercury, Moon, and that's it. They didn't do Earth, but they said, okay, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, Mercury, Moon. Start again. Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Sun, and they do over and over and over again. And that is, in fact, from the very slowest planet that they could see to the very quickest planet they could see, and that is the Moon, or luminary. We call that a luminary, and the Sun is one too. Yeah. And that's what they did. And they started at Leo, and they said, okay, so we're going to go Saturn, Jupiter, Mars. And then we're going to go from Leo to the next sign, which is class. I can't hear you. Anybody? Are you in the back? Yes, you're right. It's going to be Virgo. That's right. And they just go there, over there. So what they did is they went all the way around and did that. So that's how this system was set up. So it looks a little haphazard when we look at it in wands, and then we look at, first we're looking at Mars, and then Leo, and then we're looking at Sagittarius. But in reality, it was done the way I just mentioned it to you, and it's all in an order. You see it that way. So here we go. The Two of Wands, okay, is ruled by Mars in Aries. The Three of Wands is ruled by the Sun in Aries, as I said, the first day of spring. And the Four of Wands is ruled by Venus in Aries. Now, let's say you know someone who has Venus in Aries. Okay? Now, on the outside, you notice that the Four the Four of Wands, we don't have aces in this, that I said was completion, is double Jupiter. Interesting thought. Double Jupiter. So we have, it's not double Jupiter, it's the Four. That's a Four, not a, I'm getting too confused. It's Jupiter, Venus, and it's completion. Now, what would make that completion? Why would they call Cap completion? That's for you to think about. For example, what is so interesting about Saturn and the Sun being virtuous? Well, we have a tendency to think of Saturn as the great malefic. Bad, 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 bad. It's not. I mean, Saturn was responsible for the Golden Age of Rome in Roman mythology. Saturn said, okay, I'm done ruling. Jupiter's got it. Let him do his thing. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to come down and give mankind the Golden Age, which is what he did. Right? He ruled. There was no war. There was no nothing. As a matter of fact, everyone became a vegetarian because there was so much food. They all got to eat everything. I mean, really. So it was this Saturn age and the sun, which was golden. And so everything was virtuous. Everything was wonderful. That's one reason why. So we go, oh, okay. So what do Jupiter and Venus have to do with completion? Well, you think, okay, the four is about becoming something, right, for the first time. So it's the end of a cycle. And Jupiter is about expansion, but it's coming into being, and it's a square. And Venus, well, that's about aesthetics and love. And my card, it's John Bonham playing the song Four Sticks with four drumsticks, because that's about tribalism to me. That's my reason. But here we have completion. So you think about that. Now we go on to the five. I explained it. It's Saturn in Leo with the outer meaning, the being Mars. So here we have real constriction, Saturn, right? Mars. Five policemen coming my way wearing riot gear with batons. They're five wands. Strife, no doubt. Now, the next one is the six. Six is the middle of the tree. It's perfection. And here we have the sun and Jupiter. Victory. Wow, the sun. Perfection. Beaming light. And Jupiter, victorious. Do you see what I'm getting at? They really, the people who gave the, and it was the Golden Dawn, it was Rosicrucians before them, but they really wanted to codify this in such a way that Tarot made sense. Now, this is why I can tell very quickly if a deck is a proper Tarot deck. And I don't mean, you know, it's good or bad. That's not what I mean. If it is, in fact, a proper Tarot deck that is based on actual Tarot or not. Mine is, in fact, a proper Tarot deck because I studied Tarot. And I made my cards, they're named after this basis, you know, and I have each, if there are supposed to be seven wands, there are seven wands. That's what I did. So these are, and I'm leaving these on the screen long enough that you can take a screenshot of these, and then you can study these if you so wish. I was going to do a graph. Oh my God, I tried. I try doing, you know, the spreadsheet things, and I can't do those. I tried doing the graph thing, and it was just like, I'm a fish out of ether when I do spreadsheets. It's just not my thing. So, Valor, I love that one. Venus and Mars in Leo. Think about that. Venus and Mars together. What is that about? Well, it's about passion and love of whatever and fire of Mars together is what makes valor. Sometimes you have to pick up and fight for what you believe in. That's what valor is. When you say, I will fight for this. I will fight for this. Those of you listening only on the radio, you can come to YouTube and you can find all these things that you can copy. Okay? So, and the Eight of Wands is Mercury and Mercury. Double Mercury in Sagittarius. Swiftness. Yeah. How could it be anything but? Double Mercury. Swiftness. I just love that. Which means that the nine is going to be double moon in Sagittarius. Strength. How do you figure, Mo? Well, you have to think about that. What is it that makes it two moons together about strength? Well, the moon is incredibly powerful. Why? The tides. Our tides are all created by the moon, and ancient humanity knew that. They understood that the moon controlled the tides. What is stronger than the tides? Nothing. The tides can create earthquakes. Nothing can stop the tides. What sort of power is that? Right? The moon controls weather patterns. It does. Absolutely it does. Strong. Think about that. Think about that. And then we allow the Earth to rule tens. So we have the Earth and Saturn, oppression in the ten. Really, could it be any more? No. And what you do now is you take a card and you think about that. You think about the meaning of the card itself. And you bring that and you just, this, see, there are two different types of work that you can do. One is meditation. And meditation is about, you know, om mani padme hum, or whatever you want to do, just, you know, whatever it is. Whatever your mantra is, whatever your mandala is, whatever your tanka is, whatever it may be. And you use that, and that is to release. That is not to, you know, and then there is contemplation. And that's very different. This is for contemplation. What you do is you take something. You take an idea, like the Eight of Wands, swiftness. Mercury and Mercury, double Mercury, double Mercury, double Mercury, double Mercury. What is that? What is it? In the Crowley deck, he shows two octahedrons coming together in one space and time. Boom! And there's an explosion of electricity that Frieda Harris draws so beautifully. In my deck, it's completely different. In this, you won't be able to see it very well, but it shows rowers, you know, those guys in the skulls, right? Not a human skull, but a skull, you know, the boat, row, stroke. And they're doing very well, and they're very quick, but underneath them, going the opposite direction, is a whale. And they don't even know it. Double Mercury, right? These eight guys, they're doing very well. You know, well, they're four guys, I'm sorry. But they have eight oars, and they're doing very well, and they're doing very quickly in the opposite direction. Effortless. Also very fast. Very mercuric. And, you know, all mercury stuff. But when they come together, in that moment, it's double mercury. Boom. And what happens, the release of energy at that moment is fantastic. Yeah, gives me chills. Okay? All right. Let's go to, we don't want to get there that fast. Cups. Let's look at cups. Okay? The Two of Cups is the purest form of cup energy, and it's love. Love. Crowley says it's love for the created, of the created for the, of the creator for the created. Of the creator for the created. And we immediately think, oh, that's the love of God for us. Why does it have to be that complicated? Why couldn't it be the love of parent for child? Well, because that's not always how it happens. But you know this love. Oh, all of us know this love. It's pure. It's unadulterated. Ah, there's a good word. Unadulterated. It's complete. There's no conditions to it. It is unconditional. And it's pure. That's the Two of Cups. It's a bit of a rarity, isn't it? Now, in the Three, we have it's ruled by Saturn. Right? And then it's also ruled by Mercury. So the Three of Cups is known as the Lord of Abundance. The Lord of Abundance. They're all lords, by the way. This, in case someone is like, oh, I think Mo doesn't know that. I do know that. Yeah. The Lord of Abundance. Well, Saturn, even though Saturn can be miserly, stingy, same thing, Scrooge is the very embodiment of Saturn energy. But at the same time, Saturn was the, I told you before, the Golden Age. right? You know, so the Saturnalia was the festival of the harvest. So you have to learn to think about these things in different ways. It's kind of interesting that way. And so Mercury in this place, it is about abundance. And remember, the threes are about fecundity, right? Fecundity, abundance. The Four of Cups, luxury. Ah, think about this for a while. Jupiter Moon, the Moon in Cancer. So we have Jupiter, right? So solidity, the first, you know, the square, the first really kind of placement. And we have the Moon in Cancer, the Moon in her own house. The Moon in her own house. Why is that luxury? What is that about? And my card, I have two very wealthy people pushing away. Oh, thank you. That's nice. Pushing away. The Four Cups are begging cups. And you can see how interested they are in helping them. Not, right? No. No, not me. Why? Well, the Moon in her own house. Jupiter, the ruler. Jupiter is the benevolent ruler, or it can be the lackadaisical ruler. You have to be able to think of planets as being either one way or too much of it, right? So, you know, Jupiter can be the good king, or he can be the peel me another grape, I don't care what's going on, king. It's important in astrology that you think about both sides of that. So with the Moon in Cancer, the Moon in her own house, and Jupiter expansive, and luxury being in that way, I don't view it, it's not necessarily a bad card, but I've never seen it as being, I mean, what is luxury? Should there be luxury in the world? Should there be luxury in the world? Or should everyone have, in a world where there are people who don't eat, and you know it's true, you know that there are people who don't eat every day. That's, I'm just saying. Okay, let's move on. The Five of Cups. Disappointment. Mars, Scorpio. Disappointment. Think about it. Mars, Scorpio? That's just bubble. How could it not be disappointing? I mean, Mars, Scorpio. Mars rules Scorpio. But you get it, right? I have to keep going. I just saw the time. The Sun, Scorpio. In the six, pleasure. I mean, really? The Sun and the Sun, double Sun, Scorpio. Pleasure. Well, yes. Pleasure. And then the Seven of Cups. Venus, Scorpio. Debauch. Debauch being too much of a good thing. And perhaps some deviancy, whatever that may be. But there are issues there, right? Okay? You get to think about this. But with this system, you can see how the cards were named. And it was, you know, when this really got solidified with the Golden Dawn, well, it was the Victorian Age, debauch. Where is my... Oh, right here. What ho, thank you so much. Here's my debauch card, my Seven of Cups. Venus in Scorpio. And you can see those seven cups. A couple of those cups you can get and be okay. Some of those cups, you're not going to make it. Right? It's always a chance with that card. Okay? But it's double Venus. So that's that. Now we get to the Eight of Cups, and we have Mercury and Saturn in Pisces. Indolence. I drew mine as a man who has been drinking way too much, and it's the next day, and he's terribly hungover, and he's thinking to himself, I'm not doing that ever again. Mercury, Saturn. Hey, you've been there. The next card is Happiness. The Moon, Jupiter in Pisces. The Moon and Jupiter in Pisces. You think about that. This is the power of astrology. These are how the cards were kind of named, you know. Satiety. Being satiated. Satisfied. What? The Earth and Mars. The Earth and Mars. The Earth and Mars in Pisces? Satisfaction? Well, the tens are not the way they seem. Have you ever known anyone really satisfied? You know, I mean, let's think about that. Probably not. Swords. We have to rush through these. We've only got about 5 minutes left here. See, I did it again. The Two of Swords. The Moon in Pisces. That's not it. The Moon in Libra. Peace. Its name is the Lord of Peace Restored, but wait a minute. Peace was never broken, so it's just now the Lord of Peace. That's what we should call it. The Moon in Libra. Whew, peaceful. Saturn. And Saturn in Libra. Woof. Tough stuff. Sorrow. Jupiter and Jupiter in Libra. Truce. Truce. Makes sense. Mars and Venus in Aquarius. Defeat. Mars is going to win that one, right? One would expect. Because Aquarius is... We know Aquarius. Mars and the Moon in Aquarius. Futility. Figure out why. It's the seven. So, what is it about that? It's too emotional. You have to really work with these. Venus and Jupiter in Gemini. Okay? Interference. Why? Now, I made a mistake there. That's supposed to be Mercury. I forgot the ears. It looks like I did. That's supposed to be Mercury. Forget it. The eight. So it's double. It's Mercury and Jupiter. That's supposed to be Mercury. Mercury and Jupiter. I knew that when I saw it. Well, Mercury and Jupiter. Interference. Too much thinking. Too much thought. Too much yippity-yacking. Venus and Mars in Gemini. Cruelty. Think about that for a while. I've got to keep moving. The Earth and the Sun in Gemini, ruin. What are all these? Swords are tough. That's just the way they are. I'm sorry, I can't talk about these because I just have to keep going. It's just how it is. Discs. Two of Discs, change. What is the purest form of Earth energy? Change. Atoms, always moving. Predicted long before it was proven. Right? Yes. Saturn-Mars energy in Capricorn works. Makes sense, doesn't it? Hard work. Austere. Just keep working. Pocket a pocket a machine. Jupiter-Sun in Capricorn. Power. That makes sense. The winter solstice takes a lot of power to get that sun back up on the ecliptic. Mars, Mercury, right? Mars, Mercury, and Taurus? Worry. Sure. I can see that. Can you see that? Especially about real-world things like money, stuff like that. Sun, Moon, in Taurus? Yep. Success. Sun, Moon, the luminaries. They got it covered. I'm going to get this done. Got about a minute. Venus, Saturn in Taurus, failure. Why? You've got to have more in Taurus. You've got to have Sun, Moon. You've got to have something solid. You can't have too much emotion. Now, if it had been, you know, like maybe Mars and Saturn, that might have worked. But you can't just, you know. So you have to think about this. Mercury, Sun in the 8 in Virgo, prudence. That makes sense, right? Mine is the Cratchits, Bob Cratchit from Christmas Carol, the family. There were eight of them. So there it is, you know, right there. The Moon and working hard, doing the right thing. That's that Mercury-Sun thing. The Moon and Venus the Moon and Venus in Virgo, gain. And then I have to keep going. The Earth and Mercury, wealth. Earth and Mercury, wealth. Mercury, the word mercantile comes from Mercury. You bet, that's wealth. And is wealth a good thing? Not in Taro, not unless you spend it well, not unless you share it. So, go with these. Those are the visual aids, and have fun with that, okay? I think you've got everything. Yeah. Whew, that went faster than I thought it would. It always does. It always does. But I hope you enjoyed today. I am next week going to talk about astrology and the other cards, the major arcana cards, and other influences. And that way we'll be done with the whole thing. Okay? And you'll have astrology and the tarot. And unless someone writes me and says, Mo, this was just about as dull as a butter knife, I'll go ahead and do that. And that way you can then look at the cards and say, okay, why is Jupiter the Wheel of Fortune, you know, or the wheel? And why does that matter? Because it does matter. Because if you know astrology at all, it can change the way you read. And I'll explain that more next time, because I really didn't get a chance to elaborate on that. Okay? No. Very strange. Okay, so someone's ringing my doorbell, and I'm here, and you're there, and I don't care. So until next week, I'm wishing you all peace, and I'm wishing you all love, and hang loose. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.